Pazzo's Podcast, episode number 22.
Oh, I'm so hungover.
Oh, God. 21 was tough on us, wasn't it?
That was tough, but I had a nap. I'm good to go. Well, let's rock out 20. We're mature now. We're paying our bills on time. We're wearing penny loafers.
Are we paying our bills on time?
We're ironing our... No, we're not.
I was not paying my bills on time at 22. I still struggle at 29, honestly.
We're ironing our ties now. Yeah. And we're all grown up.
Just put them all on automatic payment. That's the easiest.
There you go. But then you end up with a negative balance in your account, and you're like, crap! Or... I actually self-edited there. That was pretty good.
I was wondering why it was drawn out.
Yeah, that's the show of a 22-year-old right there.
Maturity.
Yeah. Guys, I want to talk about a few things today. And you know what the first one is? Mixing beers.
Ah.
Okay.
Beer cocktails.
So, yeah. So what do you guys think?
I love beer cocktails. We used to have Aunt Sally's margarita on here at Pazzo's. It's delicious. Aunt Sally's from Lagunitas, the sour. And then who make a sort of like, you've seen the margaritas where they do the coronita, where they stick it in.
Right.
Upside down.
Yeah.
You know, it was sort of a take on that. It was really good. Really, really nice.
Sounds good. It sounds really good. I know we've had some examples of some really good and really bad mixes that happened accidentally at the beer trap. We have a draft system set up, and they call it FOB, or a foam on beer system, which basically means that when one keg runs out, the pour automatically stops. You switch the keg, and then all of a sudden all the beer that was left from the last keg in the line still pours, and sometimes there's several pints left. But eventually, the new beer is going to pour too. So at some point, you get a mix of the new beer and old beer coming together. And there's been some really nice things. I remember a good one that came through the line was Blushing Monk by Founders Brewing Company. And that mix with Goose Island, the Bourbon County Stout. That was a really good blend. But also I remember one time where we had a Saison and a Milk Stout. Not so much. That was not a good combination. I mean, it's just like, I like a lot of other blends. You know, it's like, I don't mind Diet Coke. I don't mind milk. I just don't want them together. You know, it's just not an okay idea. But in terms of intentionally blending beer, there's been some I've actually tried them. Okay, that's really, really good. But I think you got to be careful. I think whenever when you blend beers, understand that that's a combination that neither brewery intended you to do. Now, if you want to exercise your own artistry, try to come up with something kind of clever, something kind of neat, that's okay. But a lot of times those brewers, they build these beers to have all that complexity and all that charm and all that balance in its standalone form. So if you're going to alter that, keep in mind that's something that you're doing to change the character of your session, not something the brewer ever recommended doing. So when I review beers, it's always the beer from the brewery. It's always fresh. It's always the way they intended. But I will recognize that sometimes I've had to blend something like, you know what, this is not what I would do, but this is not a bad concoction either.
Yeah. We've had a Rubeus and chocolate stout before. That was delicious. It was like a chocolate-covered raspberry.
I'd flirt with that, yeah.
That was really good. And then we've got a whole list of mixed beers that we've done here.
Stuff
like Snake Bite, you know, or even ones where like a cider and Fireball or something. We've done those before.
Right.
I was going to say, what would you suggest as far as mixing beers?
I say always go with complementing flavors. Anything that, like we were just talking about, the raspberry, the rubeus, and then you have a chocolate stout. Those two flavors, everybody knows raspberry and chocolate go together.
If they work well in the culinary art scene, if they work well on a dish, they probably work well in beer as well.
Right. I think Goza's could be, I mean, if you're going to make a cocktail with sweet and sour, then I think if you would make one with Goza the same way, some of those more sour beers, I think that is going to complement well. You know, any of the, like the Uinta Lime Pils, I think that would be delicious with some type of, you know, beer cocktail mix.
Yeah, and you see some breweries like Evil Twin and Stillwater Brewing Company, and they're going to make a sour ale, but they're going to make a hoppy. So you can make an argument that IPAs and sour ales, maybe they have a fusion that's agreeable.
So they've got the Anderson Valley G&T Goza.
Absolutely.
You know?
That's basically their way of formulating a blend as a brewery did intend it.
Why not add a shot of gin?
Well, that's my argument when it comes to that beer in particular. I like the beer. I don't necessarily get a gin and tonic flavor. I taste more margarita than I do gin and tonic. Yeah. So maybe a shot of gin would help. Would kind of push it along a little bit. It wouldn't be bad.
Or you know, some of these bourbon barrel beers, you really, really want to get wrecked.
Bourbon and ale. That's right.
Throw a shot of bourbon in there.
That's it. Boilermaker is best.
Yeah.
Baby.
Boilermaker with Backwoods Bastard and a shot of Basil Hayden's.
Or as I, in my, you know, younger days, used to call it Beerbin.
Beerbin.
Beerbin. That's right.
Beerbin.
I know I've had some Barley Marys before, too, you know, where you basically take a Bloody Mary, but instead of use the vodka, you use like a pale ale. So I've had those before with some measure of success. It depends on how adventurous you are.
I think if you add beers that or alcohols that have more flavor, I don't think vodka is going to taste
it has no
good
flavor
in any beer.
I'm not an advocate of vodka. I don't care how good the quality of it is. It just doesn't have any flavor that helps anything and anyone in a culinary arts point of view.
It has always tasted like kerosene to me.
I tell you what, I did go down Carson's. They have a tequila Mary that they had Bloody Mary, but instead of adding vodka, they had tequila. And I'm like, that adds a tremendous amount of flavor to that drink. And so yeah. I think they're onto something there.
Yeah, Steven was just saying salt and coriander and a goza to counteract some of the sweetness, and then throw a shot of tequila in there with that. That would be delicious.
Mm. I'd be willing to try. You know what? Maybe I'm climbing onto your side of the fence, Chase. Maybe I'm going to leave my purity world for a little bit. Let's go out drinking together, man. Yeah. How's that sound? The rest of you guys want to come with us?
Yeah.
All right.
Yes. I had a little bit of a question here. And it is to our guys that are in the audience. Thank you so much, guys. What questions do you have for these two guys? Not particularly me, because I just throw the ball up, let them hit it out of the park, and then I'm good. You know, I don't really have a specialty here.
We'll ask Jason questions about food. You can ask me questions about beer. When it comes to Josh, we're going to ask, where's this rash on my butt coming
yes.
from?
Yes, and I could probably answer that. My wife is a PA, so I'll use her expertise.
Well, Andy's been changing a lot of diapers lately, I'm sure, so...
Microphone, yes. Yeah, I have been changing quite a few diapers. Actually, my 6-month-old son went for his 6-month checkup yesterday.
He's 6 months old. That's incredible.
Yeah. So, of course, with that 6-month checkup came hell for the past night and a half. But it's been fun. That's where I'm at right now. So now that we've depressed everyone, let's go further and talk about whatever you guys want to talk about. Steven Wilson, what do you want to talk about?
Okay. I have developed a pet peeve with saisons. And for me personally, I see the word saison on a beer list, and I think it should be about 90% of them should be removed from the beer list over to ciders. What about a saison qualifies it as a beer, or should it be appropriately moved over to a cider list because of the overt sweetness of a lot of these? Like 90% of the saisons I try remind me of ciders, and ciders are not my bag.
Gotcha.
And it's unfortunate because you guys brought up a great topic about one-off beers and like rarities, and Country Boy had a wet hop saison that I absolutely adored. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the first saisons that I tried. And you had the hops of that wet hops in this saison. And everything I've tried since then has just been super sweet. And what am I missing, or am I right?
I think I can help you a little bit. First of all, I think that most Belgian beers right now are getting a little bit of a bad rap in America. The reason why is because of the success of the American microbrewery culture. our craft beer brewers are making a lot of beers that are trying to become Saisons, they're trying to become Belgian triples, trying to become quads, they're trying to become Belgian pale ales, or some sort of other Belgian beer. And the American, there's very few American microbreweries and craft brewers that's really learned to master Belgian beer making. So I think what's happening is a lot of people are going to go to these craft brewer tap rooms, and they're going to taste the IPA, which is actually pretty good most of the time. Taste a porter and stout that's actually pretty good. A brown ale's pretty good. Amber. All these beers that are American styles are going to be pretty good. So you taste this Belgian beer, and let's say you've never had something like a Saison DuPont. Or let's say you've never had, you know, like a Tout Le Monde. Or let's say you've never had like a really good, masterful Belgian beer. And all of a sudden you taste these beers from these tap rooms, and they've never really mastered that Belgian character just yet. They're using some malts that are loosely based on, you know, what they would use in Belgium. They're using a yeast character that's very tepid in comparison. And all of a sudden, it's coming across a little bit bland. It's coming a little messy. It's coming across a little too sweet. And I agree. Most of the time, whenever American microbreweries make a Belgian-style beer, it's going to have a Belgian-esque character, but it's not going to have the authentic dry rusticity that we really expect from those classic Belgian beer makers. But having said that, Saisons, they do edge on that cidery characteristic a little bit because those natural esters that are produced by those Belgian yeast is going to produce fruit flavors that remind us of apple, a peach, a pear, of oranges, of lemon, and those sort of things. And so, and they usually dry the beer out to a reasonable measure where it's not necessarily sour, but it might edge on tartness a little bit. It might promote a little bit of funkiness. It comes along with some of that fruity kind of funkiness you do get from some ciders. And so it's easy to kind of
read.
What was
that word again?
Funkiness?
It sounded like funkiness.
Funky? We'll let you decide what to do with the editing session.
I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't funkiness. All right. Let's continue.
It's like whenever you have a cold and you try to say mommy and it comes out like Bobby. Maybe that just happened. But the Saison characteristics can hedge on those cidery notes too. There's a lot of times when I describe Saisons and I describe them as cidery. But if I do, I'm going to describe them as a French cider that's going to be actually on a dry, spicy, peppery kind of side that actually has more to do with white wine, sparkling white wine, than it would actually an apple juice kind of character.
So what would you suggest? Or with my, am I too skeptical of Saisons to try them? Or what would you suggest to me when I see, you know, with 90% of the Saisons that I've tried and I don't like them, is this category dead to me? Or what would you suggest for a guy like me to do who's a fan of Gozes, who's a fan of, you know, sour beers and things like that? What am I missing? What would you suggest for me to, you know, to try?
Saison DuPont is going to be the first step. That's the most authentic. Even though that beer only goes back to the 1940s or so, that's about as far back as our Saison character lets us go. Those farmhouses in Belgium, they've been making these beers since the Middle Ages. And so they've taken a lot of adaptations, but a lot of that wasn't written down. We have no recollection of that history. So about as far back in history as you can go is basically 1940s with Saison DuPont. Try that one. That's really, really good. Or stay Saison to a reputable brewery that does make really great Saisons, like Prairie Brewing Company. The Prairie Standard is actually a really good rendition of that style
Sriracha
as well.
Ace.
So try this. Sriracha Ace is a nice example as well. But that is a slightly Americanized version, but it does have a lot of authenticity. Its flavor really does taste like it's coming from some sort of farmhouse in southern Belgium, northern
France. Saint-Fouillon is another great Saison that I like a lot.
Fantôme makes some really good ones, too. And those are extremely rustic, extremely earthy. They push that element a lot. That's probably what you would have tasted more like whenever you go back to the Middle Ages.
I say go back to the basics. Go back to the original ones. Go back to the Belgian Saisons. Those Fantôme that you can get over at Beer Trap, they're fantastic. They really are. And the Saint-Fouillon, we have it in cans here at Pazzo's. Saison DuPont, we have in bottles, both places and at Village Idiot. That's one that is like a staple. It never goes off of our menu, our beer menu. So
So go to Belgium.
Yeah.
Oh, darn.
That's where we're getting right.
I mean,
now,
like he said, there's a couple breweries in stateside that do some. Omegang is one. They've got a pretty good handle on Belgian style.
If you can find Allagash, they do great. Russian River makes some really nice saisons. So you do have some people around can make some really characterful ones, even though they're located here. But usually those, because those breweries have brew houses that dedicate themselves to those flavors. They have the expertise in those flavors, and they don't cut corners. They sign specific contracts with suppliers of those grains, those hops, so they can make it absolutely authentical. They don't have to worry about trying to replicate anything with the stuff they already have. They actually go genuine or they don't go at all.
It's funny you say that, because we are brewing a Saison August 4th with Mad Tree Brewing out of Cincinnati. They have a chef series beer that they do. They've done it with a couple of the chefs in Cincinnati. We're the first ones outside of Cincinnati that they're doing it with. And we're doing it based on the duck and waffles from Village Idiot. It's going to have rosemary, thyme, cane syrup, and orange zest.
I'll tell you what you should do, Jason. Before you release that to public, you should let Steve taste it. Give a stamp of approval before you decide what to do with that.
Yeah, same here.
We are going more the Saison Oud Brun. Sort of a little bit maltier character in that beer, just because the cane syrup has that nice, deep, dark, you know, umami sort of like flavor to it. And we want to kind of
savory to bounce off that tart, peppery character. So, yeah. Clean up in all three. Clean up in all three.
Job opening.
Guys, it's been the end of 22.
Right.
Episode
22. Have we gotten our AARP stuff in the mail yet? That's what I'm looking forward to. That's all there is, right, from here on out?
It's on its way.
Now, at 22, it's the 20 cassettes for one penny.
Columbia House.
I remember abusing that system quite well. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
This is where we start getting really snooty towards all the underage people. You know what I mean?
Oh, the youngsters.
We're like, oh, God. I can't stand those kids.
What are we going to call millennials once millennials get old? Well, what's the new millennial going to be?
What are you going to call me once I get... I'm already old.
He is a millennial, don't you?
Well, that's what I say, but what's the next generation called? We need to start complaining about
assholes.
Them.
Anyway. Anyway, guys, it has been episode number 22. Thank you so much for listening.
4 years, we get lower insurance.
That's right. I feel like we've gotten more vulgar as the time has gone on.
Or as we get drunker.
I'm fine with that. I'm absolutely fine with that. Thank you so much for listening, Pazzo's Podcast. Thank you.